I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH Boston. This weekend, British authorities held the partner of journalist Glenn Greenwald for nearly 9 hours at London's Heathrow Airport yesterday. Greenwald, as you'll recall, is the Guardian journalist who broke the story on Edward Snowden's NSA leaks. His Brazilian partner, David Miranda, was detained and questioned under a UK terrorism law. Although Miranda was released and allowed to continue on to Brazil, British authorities seized his electronic equipment. WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange calls Miranda's temporary detention a disgrace.
The seizure of David Miranda's laptop and telephone and associated electronic instruments is just an abuse on top of his detention. So this is an attack on journalism in violation of the law by the British government.
David Anderson is Britain's official reviewer of terrorism legislation. He is the lawyer tasked with ensuring that the balance between security and civil rights is maintained, he reports to the UK Parliament. Mr. Anderson, you are the independent reviewer of terrorism legislation. What's been your reaction to this case?
Well, I spend quite a bit of my time observing how our terror laws operate. And in particular, we do have very strong laws at the frontier, which the police can use in order to question people that they think might be terrorists. They can ask them questions. They can compel them to answer. They can hold them for up to 9 hours. They can download, in some cases, the contents of their phones and their laptops. One of the few constraints on that power is that the questions must be directed to determining whether the person they are questioning has been involved in the commission, preparation, or instigation of terrorist acts. And should
they need a sort of probable cause, in other words?
Yeah, they don't have to suspect them of being terrorists or believe that they are terrorists. I mean, they could stop you or me perfectly legitimately, but as soon as it becomes clear beyond any doubt that the person they're talking to is not a terrorist, then in principle, they no longer have any right to hold them or to question them.
Right. So what would have been their suspicion of David Miranda, who is the partner of a journalist?
Yeah, I have no idea. And it may be that I'm going to have to look pretty closely into this case. So I'm not going to try and prejudge it when I've only heard one side of the story. But that is the concern. I mean, this is a very broad power. It's a very useful power, I should say. I mean, we have, I'm afraid, young men in this country who are going to Syria to fight, who are going to and from East Africa, who are picked up at the frontier by the police. And it's a very good thing that they are. But when you have such a wide power, when you have such wide discretions, you need to look particularly carefully at the safeguards on those powers. Parliament, in fact, following a recommendation I made last year, is currently debating changes to the law, which will knock some of the rougher edges off it. I'm very much hoping that this incident is going to provide fuel for that debate.
The law you're talking about is the Terrorism Act, and one part of it in particular called Schedule 7. Can you just tell us what that is, and has it been controversial since it came into effect?
It's the power to question and detain people at ports and airports. It's used about 60,000 times a year, which sounds a lot, but remember, more than 200 million people use ports and airports every year. And I would say that it has been most controversial in Asian communities in Britain, because Asian people, rightly or wrongly, or some of them feel that they are selected more than they should be for these examinations. Until today, I would say that consciousness of this power in the community more generally has been pretty low.
Does it make sense to you that the UK would detain Mr. Miranda on essentially, well, he's the partner of the journalist who's looking into a US issue? I mean, the UK doesn't have any issues with Greenwald, do they? Nor would they have any with Miranda.
Well, a lot of these stops, of course, are intelligence-based, and they realize before they stop somebody that they have a reason to stop them. Now, I don't know what the intelligence was on the basis of which Mr. Miranda was stopped, or what was behind that intelligence. My concern is to ensure that this very useful power is not being misused or abused by the police to serve purposes that were not contemplated under the statute.
So you said earlier that the debate in the UK over the Terrorism Act, and specifically Schedule 7, had some rough edges on it. Can you explain what those rough edges are?
Well, if this incident had happened in a year's time, by the time that the bill that is currently going through Parliament will have become law, there would be some changes. He could have been kept for a maximum of 6 hours. He would have had a right to an attorney after 1 hour. But these are ultimately nibbling around the edges. I think they're good reforms, they're strong reforms, but Parliament needs to look at some other aspects of the power as well. In particular, is it right that all these powers should be exercisable without the need for suspicion. And what about the power to download a mobile phone? I mean, what happens to that data? How long is it kept for? Who can access it? These, I think, are all matters that need to be put out there, and they need to be the subject of proper laws.
When any of us are in a UK airport, what rights do we have?
You have the right to a lawyer once you are detained. You have the right to refuse to answer questions which do not have a bearing on the question of whether you are a terrorist. But the risk is that if you refuse to answer a question that is designed to discover whether you're a terrorist, then you have committed a criminal offence. And then, of course, you have a right to complain. There is an independent police complaints commission, and there are courts, in fact, a number of cases at the moment pending in the courts, both in England and in Europe, about the lawfulness of this power and its exercise.
David Anderson, Britain's official reviewer of terrorism legislation, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.